I was in prison, and you came to visit me. With these words, Christ challenges each of us to spend time serving those who, because of circumstance or bad choices, can't serve themselves. Welcome to Someone Cares, a faith ministry dedicated to helping us all answer that challenge. For many years, this outreach program has carried healing doses of hope and Christian love behind prison walls and touched the lives of those in desperate need of both. I'm your Someone Cares radio host, Charles Mills. Enclosed by prison walls, we find all types of people from all types of cultures. No one knows this better than Dr. Steve Mulder, and I've asked him to share some of his experiences with us. Dr. Mulder, I'll let you introduce yourself to our listeners and fill us in on what you've discovered along the way as you've tried to be Christ's hands and feet and heart for those incarcerated.
Well, I just want to thank you for a chance to tell a little bit about our experience in prison ministry and thank Don McClure and Yvonne for what they've done. They really were our mentors. They were members in the church that Victoria and I attend, and we heard some of their stories early on years ago, and that was my first taste of what prison ministry was all about and got us interested in participating, although it was several years before we became directly involved.
Now, when you heard the stories that Don and Yvonne told, and when you heard about the ministry itself, how did you think you could help? What did you have that you thought you could bring to prison ministries?
Well, I thought I'd write letters. You know, they told about these men who wouldn't receive a letter for years and years, no human contact. And I heard some of the ways that lives were being changed. I thought, well, I'll write letters. But I found out I really wasn't a great letter writer.
Okay, so you decided that may not be your particular skill. What did you do then?
Well, it just so happened that my job got a contract working at a California Men's Colony, and we started providing anesthesia services, and I was served as an anesthesiologist in the prison and got to see a whole different experience working directly with prisoners. And they actually, some of the staff took me for, like, we called it a field trip. We put on our white coats and went walking through the yards and the ADSEG units and meeting the officers, meeting the inmates at work. And I was absolutely fascinated. It really perked my interest. I saw that these men were serious about doing something constructive, that they didn't want to be remembered for one really bad day or for one messed up life. They didn't want to be remembered for that. They wanted to have something in their lives that would give them a sense of meaning and purpose, just like we all search for.
Absolutely.
I think that was one of the first impressions that I got talking directly with the inmates.
So what was the next step then? You saw the need, you saw the reality of it. What did you do next?
Our church had a prison ministry that others were participating in, and they would invite a group of church members to come in on Christmas programs or on special events. So I signed up to go along and participate in these special days, and we would have special services with a guest speaker, and we'd even have a meal served courtesy of the institution occasionally and get a chance to eat with some of the men and talk to them. That was something that I found very interesting, kind of a highlight, but just figured it was kind of a very part-time activity.
When you sat down and had a meal with these guys, you had to know that they had that bad day you mentioned, that they've had that bad life. What were they looking for from you? What did they need from you? What do they need from us? What do they need from letter writers? What should we present to them that will help them pass that bad day and that bad life?
This, of course, is just my opinion, but I felt like they needed respect. I felt like they needed a sense of that they were valued in spite of their past and in spite of what they had done, that they weren't forgotten and lost. Mm-hmm. There's a French term that we saw used in a prison when we were traveling once called the oubliette, where they threw prisoners into a hole and forgot about them. I believe it means the forgotten one. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted these men to know that they were valued, respected, and not forgotten, and that would do more for them than trying to tell them how they should change or what they should do. I just wanted them to have a friend.
When you talk to them and introduce them to Jesus, is there any particular aspect of Christ's life or his character or his personality or his words to us that you found had special meaning for the people behind bars?
Now that my wife and I have been actively involved in prison ministry for the last 5 years, mm-hmm. I think that when it's going the best is when the men are able to laugh. Hmm. When we share a good laugh together, I feel like God's Spirit is lifting these men up and that the work of Jesus is being done. I talk to them about Jesus in as many different ways as I can. We spend time studying our lesson study, Bible study. We pray together. We hold hands when we pray. Mm-hmm. And we sing together. The men love to sing. They love to sing about Jesus' forgiveness and his mercy. But as I think about it now, I think that having a good chuckle with these guys does as much for them as anything else.
I like that because, you know, for people to be part of the Pen Friends program with Someone Cares, what do I write about? It sounds like you're saying that just write about the funny things that happened in your life. Write about the funny things the kids or the grandkids did. Write about what happened to you on the way to work. Bring some levity into their lives. Is that what I hear you saying?
I know that these men have spent hours agonizing over their situation, over their experiences, over their mistakes. I don't want that to be a part of our experience when we're with them, when we're interacting with them. I want them to know that whatever their past is, the future is going to be different. And that whatever they've done doesn't mean they have to keep on doing it. And that if we really have had our sins forgiven, we can be happy about the future, and we can enjoy each other's company. We can have a good time together. That's kind of my personal approach, and I think it makes the time go by very quickly. We spend an hour each Sabbath afternoon with these men, but it sure seems like less than that.
What does that do to you? You've described what they get out of it. They get out of it some levity in their lives and some hope and some courage and some sense of forgiveness from God. What do you and your wife take home from the prison when the doors close behind you and you get in your car and you drive home there? What do you feel inside?
Well, I know that there's been times we've driven home and we've just been like looking straight ahead with our thoughts and just say, wow. Mm. That was really incredible what just happened. You know, it may be a story of one of the men's experiences, their own testimony. It may be some problem that one inmate had that another inmate helped him solve. It's just subtle things that have profound emotional impacts. The net result is that we keep wanting to come back. The men say, oh, thank you for coming. And we're like, no, this is a privilege for us. Mm-hmm. We're glad to be here. That's what we take away from it, is the desire to come back and spend more time with these men and worshiping and enjoying their company.
Dr. Mulder, in your volunteer work in the prison system there in California, knowing what you know and seeing what you've seen, what would you say to a church member, a Bible-believing, a hymn-singing church member who turns to you and says, you know, when those guys get out, I don't want them in my church. I don't want them coming near my children. I don't want them in our lives. What would you say to that person?
You know, that very situation came up with one of our first inmates. When we first started our fellowship, it was whole new ground. There had never been a fellowship of that type in the west side of CMC. We called for services. Three guys showed up. One of them said he'd been praying for 20 years to have services with our group. And he was discharged a few years later. He was a godly man who was a spiritual leader in our group. But when he was discharged, we encouraged him to go to his local church and to make friends and be engaged. He had written a letter of his experiences later, and he said a little lady in the church said to him, I know what you did. And he said to her, if it makes you feel uncomfortable, I won't come here anymore. And she was horrified. She backtracked so quickly. She was like, no, please don't misunderstand. I think that we do live in a culture where we think lock the bad people up and throw away the key. But the system has pretty well shown that that's not a solution to a safe society. A safe society is just the way Lincoln described. If you want to destroy an enemy, make him your friend. And for those men who can and have been rehabilitated and served their time, they should be accepted in our churches with open arms and entrusted with the respect that they are able to demonstrate they deserve. I mean, I know that bad habits die hard, and I know how desperate these men are when they get out. We hear their stories. They have no job. They have no income. They're living in halfway houses with people who do have bad habits. They are desperate, and a person who's desperate is sometimes treated with suspicion. But these men need a church to participate in. The fellowship that gave them strength in the inside has to be their source of strength on the outside as well.
My, Dr. Steve Mulder, he's an anesthesiologist practicing in Santa Maria, California. Dr. Mulder, you have given us wonderful insights here, and I know that you have blessed people today. Thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate the chance to talk to you, and I really want to encourage people to get started. And if they are a better letter writer than me, hopefully they'll be able to enjoy participating in the Pen Friend program and being active in whatever role that God has for them in their church and in their community.
Thank you so much for those words. We really appreciate www.someonecares.org is the website. Check it out, listener, for information of how you can be part of this Someone Cares letter-writing campaign called Pen Friends, right there at someonecares.org. Until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Steve Mulder reminding you that someone cares. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for listening to Someone Cares. If you'd like to become part of this vital prison outreach ministry, visit someonecares.org and discover ways you can safely and effectively touch the lives of incarcerated men and women with God's love. Again, that web address is someonecares.org. This program was produced by Lifetalk Radio.